NPR.
Dan Pashman, welcome.
Hey, Stacey.
And you are the host of the great food podcast called The Sporkful.
That's right.
And today you are bringing us a very special story about apples.
Apples. In the olden times, there were many kinds of apples. But then, you know, as the country, the food systems were industrialized, there was a big consolidation towards Red Delicious in particular. And really, there was the red apple, Red Delicious. There was the green one and the
Granny
yellow
Smith.
One. Granny Smith. Right. And the yellow one, Golden Delicious. And those are the only apples. And most of those apples were picked because they looked nice. Red Delicious especially looks very pretty.
It's a beautiful apple.
Right. And it's very durable. Like the skin is very thick. It can sit on a shelf for a long time. So, you know, and that worked. Everyone was pretty much content with Red Delicious because they didn't know what else was out there. Starting maybe in the 70s, you started to see the proverbial seeds planted of a new apple movement.
And it all started with one apple that became like this huge hit apple.
Right. So now a lot of us all know about Honeycrisp. All right. It's probably the most expensive apple at your average suburban supermarket for sure. And when Honeycrisp came along, it blew up the industry because it showed people that consumers were willing to spend a lot more money for an apple that they thought was superior.
And this apple was not just, I mean, this didn't just appear in the grocery store. This was actually developed like a product.
Well, that's one of the big changes that has led to the proliferation of all these apples, Stacey, which is apple clubs, growers clubs. It's like a collective or even like a franchise kind of situation. So you have growers who come together and you, in order to get permission to grow a new variety of apple, you must pay money for the rights to grow that apple. You're licensing the apple.
Okay, so it's basically like opening up a Subway sandwiches or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. You're paying for the right to
grow a Honeycrisp.
Right. And also we're going to band together to market this apple. So everyone's going to know the name Snapdragon or Pink Lady or you know, whatever the new apple is going to be.
Notably left out of the club system is the Apple State itself.
Correct.
Washington.
Right.
How did they get left out?
Well, they're still stuck growing Red Delicious, and Red Delicious is falling out of favor.
So Washington State is looking at this, like, apple revolution happening all around the country. And they're like, we have got to get in this. And so they decide that they are going to engineer a hit apple.
Starting December 1st, we will have a new apple, and this will be the biggest apple launch in history.
An apple is born.
Yes.
And it is called?
It is called the Cosmic Crisp.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
I'm Dan Pashman from the Sporkful Food Podcast.
And today on the show, the Cosmic Crisp.
This message comes from NPR sponsor TIAA, committed to the idea that while most things in life run out, from clean shirts in the morning to a favorite dessert at night, lifetime income in retirement shouldn't. Learn more at TIAA.org/neverrunout.
Support also comes from Google. From Connecticut to California, from Mississippi to Minnesota, millions of American businesses are using Google tools to grow online. Learn more at google.com/grow.
So Washington State, big apple growing state, decides it is tired of being left out of like the big apple revolution that's happening all over the country, and it wants to create this new apple. But that is a complicated process. It's expensive and time consuming.
It takes decades. The way that you breed a new apple is actually pretty simple and straightforward in the sense that it's just like you grow an apple tree, a bunch of apple trees. You pick the apples, you taste them, you see which ones are best, and then you take the seeds out of those apples that are best and you plant them in the ground. And then you have a new batch of whatever 20 trees that take another few years. Then you try all those apples and pick the very best, and you keep picking the best seeds until you end up with an apple that blows your mind. But that can take, as it did in this case, 20 years.
And there is a woman who is in charge of this process, who has been overseeing all the apples and seeds and tests, and you talk to her.
Her name is Kate Evans.
I am the leader of the pome fruit breeding program at Washington State University. I'm a professor of horticulture.
Did you just say pome fruit?
I said, yeah, good one. Pome fruit, I said. So apple is a pome fruit, as is pear and quince and other similarly related fruits.
Got
so
it.
I cover apples and pears.
And so it's Kate's job to basically figure out how to make a hit apple. And there are all these metrics that you use.
It's firmness, crispness, juiciness, all of those things combined. And then, of course, you have the effect of the skin, because the skin to the flesh makes a difference in terms of how you perceive the texture.
Yes.
And then you've got all those flavoral traits. You've got tartness, sweetness, aromatics, but also trying to combine that with those traits that would make it work for the grower and for the whole production line.
And so they're looking at this basically giant universe of all these different apples, and they're breeding this one and this one and this one. But the Cosmic Crisp has two pretty famous parents.
So Cosmic Crisp's parents are Honeycrisp. And so they paired Honeycrisp with an apple called Enterprise. So the Enterprise is more durable and also has a different appearance. And so part of why Cosmic Crisp got the name it got is that, you know, and this is the level that we're at here with these apples in development, they do focus groups.
They do focus groups for apples?
They do focus groups.
Like with two-way glass and a bunch of people sitting around a table being like, I think it's too crispy.
Yes, and... they do focus groups for apple names.
Really?
So they have people eat the apples and they say, what flavors does this evoke? What does it make you think of? And then how do you feel if the apple would be named this versus that? And one of the things that people said was that the yellow flecks on the outside of the apple resembled stars.
Oh.
And that got people thinking cosmic.
So like how much money did Washington State University spend on all of this like marketing and focus groups and breeding and stuff like that?
Tens of millions of dollars. But they stand to make $100 million.
$100 million. Wow. And how much are they going to spend marketing it?
$10 million.
They're spending $10 million marketing this new apple. And that is what, like TV ads?
First of all, like any big star making its first appearance in the public, this apple has a PR firm.
That, really?
Yes. They're called... they're the same company that worked on the branding and the naming. And they also do the publicity for the apple.
I mean, you can market the bejesus out of something, but people have to like it. And yes. You actually, Dan, got a special sneak peek.
That's right.
Of the Cosmic Crisp.
I got an advance apple.
You got an advance apple.
An advance copy of the apple.
And you actually recorded yourself trying it. So
yes.
We have tape of that. So let's play that tape.
All right. I'm going in. Mmm. It's extremely crunchy, extremely juicy, extremely sweet, and also acidic. Like, it's just, it's like a Technicolor apple.
So now the $10 million question, Dan Pashman, would you pay extra, would you pay a little more to buy this apple?
It depends on a little more than what. I mean, in my house, we already don't really ever get Honeycrisps.
Really?
My wife is not on board with paying so much extra for the Honeycrisp. I don't make Honeycrisp money, Stacey.
Well, yeah, no one in public radio makes Honeycrisp money. I mean, that's crazy.
No, I know. But I would certainly pay more for this apple than for what I will call the average apple brand X.
Okay.
Because it was so juicy and... it's also huge. I mean, I was very hungry when I went to eat this apple, and I ended up feeling like pretty satisfied for just eating an apple, which is not common for me.
What happens if people don't buy this apple?
Well, the people who would be hit hardest are the growers in Washington State.
Right. They've like ripped up all their trees and planted these new trees.
Exactly. And it would be many years before they could make any kind of a change. I'd be surprised if it flops 100% because the apple is very good and because it has so much money and power behind it. But... none of us can say for sure.
Wait, are they ripping out Red Delicious trees and putting in Cosmic Crisp trees? Is
yeah.
that what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, so the Washington State growers were like, okay, no more Red Delicious. We're betting it all on the Cosmic Crisp.
I wouldn't say betting it all. I mean, there will still be Red Delicious. But yes, there will be fewer Red Delicious produced and more Cosmic Crisp.
I mean, farmers generally don't have huge margins of error in their budgets and stuff. So this is a big risk for them.
Absolutely.
I mean, has there been an apple that's flopped?
I don't think there's ever been an apple launch like this.
Do you have some episodes that people should definitely tune in to listen to?
But we did do an episode in October that I hope folks will check out, all about the use of the word plantation in food branding. And it becomes really an episode about whiteness in America. So you can check out that episode of The Sporkful wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, check it out. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Lena Sanzgiri. Our intern is Nadia Lewis. Our editor is Patty Hirsch. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.